Welcome to a Weird News Roundup, presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We explore strange tales reported on by Odyssey radio newsrooms from coast to coast. I'm your Roundup host, Lauren Berry. In this episode, we're starting with a discussion about body language, specifically how people talk with their hips, whether they realize it or not. After that, we'll hear from an expert about how Gen Z is finally hitting the bottle, but with different drinking habits than older generations. Then, we're headed to a gender reveal party. But this one isn't for a human. It's for a capybara. If you don't know what that is, don't worry, you'll hear all about it. And after all that, we're going to Kingman, Arizona, to meet the savior of Route 66 at the historic Route 66 Museum. But first up, let's dive into the world of body language analysis with Dana Wright, Scott Parks, and Sam Stevie III of the Dana and Parks Show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City.
One of the Parks family members writes, "Put your hands on your hips. Is your thumb in front or in back?" Steve and I are curious. Steve is a thumb in front kind of guy.
He's also an educator.
I am the thumb in back. And it comes with two photos. Christopher Reeve is on the left, Superman. And his thumb is in the back, which is the normal way to do it. The other one is the Minnesota NBA player. He's got his wrist cocked the other way. Thumb is in front. Four fingers is on, you know, on his hips in the back.
So stand up and tell me what, just don't think about it.
I don't even need to stand up.
Don't think about it. What comes natural?
It's your fingers go in the front and your thumb goes in the back.
Mine would too.
Who cocks your wrist the wrong way? Like Forrest Gump, I guess, did that when he sticks his belly out and he.
It is intended to look authoritative. So my brother is an educator. He actually is a vice principal now. And one
thumbs forward doesn't look authoritative. You look like Forrest Gump.
It's actually considered an insult in Japan to put your hands on your hips.
Well, you're usually perturbed.
It's a rude display of arrogance in Japan. In African cultures, it can be a signal of defiance.
Okay, well, if I ever go to Japan, I will remember that. But while we are here in these United States, the body language experts have broken this down. There are 10 hip cues that will help you decide what someone is trying to say to you. Mm. Now, look, if someone is coming at me hands on hips, 9 times out of 10, you're annoyed or you're in a hurry and you're like, hurry it up to me. Okay. But this is what it says. Thumb direction matters. Research by Joe Navarro shows that pointing your thumbs backward signals authority and dominance, while pointing them forward indicates curiosity or concern. And this small shift completely changes how others might perceive your intentions.
What?
Listen to this.
Thank you, Sam.
Sway increases attractiveness. One study found that a woman's perceived attractiveness increases 50% when she walks with a hip sway. The effect is achieved through a tightrope walk technique rather than physical traits. Here's another one. Hip distance is one of the most honest indicators of relationship closeness because it is difficult to consciously control. People maintain a significant gap with strangers, but will allow full contact with intimate partners. And the last one says, former FBI agent Joe Navarro notes that undercover officers can often be identified by their habit of resting their hands on their hips, a behavior learned from years of wearing heavy-duty belts. Mm. I would not necessarily go up to anyone with their hands on their hips and be like, I'm on to you.
I'm going to disagree with that because when your thumbs are forward and your fingers are back, Your posture is forcing you to open your chest up more, which would, in the way I think about it, present a more authoritative approach.
Or threatening.
You are making yourself larger. You are imposing yourself on the person in front of you, to whereas if your elbows are forward, you're actually caving your chest in, kind of cowering away with the thumbs in the back.
This is called the classic arms akimbo stance. Huh? Both hands planted on the hips, elbows flared outward, means you feel confident and ready for action. Anthropologists describe this as a worldwide territorial display that communicates either confidence or aggression. Keep away from me because you are physically occupying more space when you do that. Like, ha!
Huh?
Ha! Like that.
Another way that people can try to drum up confidence is with liquid courage, a.k.a. alcohol. For years, though, it seemed like Generation Z, the people born between 1997 and 2012, had pretty much skipped that method. Now, it looks like they're finally hanging out at happy hour. But their habits are still a little bit offbeat compared to previous generations. Emily Stewart recently wrote about this for Business Insider, and she joined Odyssey station WWL in New Orleans this week to talk about what she found.
So what made you look into this information about Gen Zers and their drinking habits?
Well, I think, you know, for the past couple of years, the narrative about Gen Z has been that they're not drinking, right? That they're very different, that they're very health conscious. The kids are just staying home, not going out. And I think kind of the question that I've long had is like, is Gen Z different or are they just slower, right? Is it kind of that 25 is the new 21? Like, if someone put it to me, are they coming to the party or are they skipping the party or are they just late to the party?
You know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, we see all these reports about kids are waiting longer and longer to get a driver's license, that more than half of 18-year-olds don't even have a driver's license now. And then as adults, people are waiting longer and longer to get married if they ever do and to have kids. Everything seems delayed a little longer in life these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a big part of it, right? People are living longer, and so they're kind of living their lives more slowly, whether that means, you know, at the later end, maybe retiring a little later, things like you're waiting to have kids. And so with, you know, I think with Gen Z, it's with every generation, right, it's tempting to say, like, oh, they're just so different, or, oh, there's something wrong with them. And it's like, well, maybe just, you know, they have a lot more time to kind of catch up, and so they are. And I think with Gen Z also, it's important to remember, especially with, you know, some of the older ones, but all of them, they were really in their formative years during the pandemic, right? And so, like, that's going to change things a lot of ways. And again, it doesn't mean that maybe it will change things forever, but it will make things a little bit different. So when you think about drinking, right, Gen Z's, you know, we're hitting, a lot of them were in college maybe, or were supposed to be in college when the pandemic hit. And that's kind of when you start a lot of the time experimenting with alcohol. And so they didn't have those experiences. Instead of, you know, being able to go to a bar during an internship happy hour or going to a frat party, they were, you know, stuck at home maybe with their parents.
Yeah, so hard to have a frat party on Zoom.
Right, exactly. So I think, you know, for Gen Z, it just has been a little bit slower. They also have been broker, right? They haven't had as much money. So when you don't have much money, you kind of can't spend it on beer or whatever else.
Yeah, Gen Z, by the way, we should note that the upper end of the Gen Z generation now is 29 years old, 30, they'll turn 30 next year. So, and now you are starting to see statistically changes in surveying of the younger Americans on how much they drink. What did you find?
Yeah, so this data company, IWSR, put out a survey asking people in 15 major markets around the world, you know, how have you had a drink in the past 6 months? And with Gen Z, about 74% of them said that they had a drink. 3 years ago, 66% said that. And like the 74% number is actually pretty in line with the general adult population. Like 3/4 of people, basically, they say they've had a drink in the last 6 months. They are catching up.
Yeah, I saw another report recently that said, well, as they're starting to drink more, though, Gen Zers are doing it at different times. Instead of closing out bars at 2 a.m., which actually we don't do here in New Orleans, the bars never close, but elsewhere in the country, instead of Gen Zers closing out bars at 2 a.m., they're having drinks at 3 in the afternoon or a pre-dinner drink at 5 p.m. and that afternoons and evenings are apparently higher consumption times for some reason for this younger generation.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing, like, that's the day cap trend, right, where they're drinking a little bit during the day, which is different. And there are a lot of things that they're doing different. Like, one thing that I think has been really interesting to me is to learn that they are drinking cocktails a lot more. They're also coming into a different alcohol market and really much more varied one, right? Your first drink was probably a beer. You probably hated it. Nobody really liked beer on their first try. They're coming into a market that's really with all of these ready-to-drink cocktails that really is a lot more variety. But if you think about like Cutwater, which have a pretty high alcohol content, but you can get margaritas of those or espresso martinis of those. Think about a Surfside that is lemonade or iced tea mixed with vodka. You think about White Claws. You think about Buzzballs.
When we get back from the break, we'll raise a glass to the capybara that just got a new home and is getting a gender reveal party on this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat.
Can you tell me how you're going to reveal the gender?
So we are going, so I'll tell you, it's a little bit of a surprise, but it will involve smoke bombs.
Oh, wow.
We're going really big for this. It's going to be outside. It's going to be a whole thing.
That's Christina McDaniel of Odyssey Station WWJ News Radio in Detroit, talking to manager Jay Tingle of the Legacy Aquarium and Reptarium, an interactive aquarium and zoo located in Utica, Michigan. Legacy held a gender reveal party for a capybara on Thursday, and Tingle joined the station before he even knew the results. Capybaras, for reference, are semi-aquatic mammals, and they're actually the largest living rodents in the world. Here's how Legacy ended up hosting this event for one.
Do you have to call the fire department?
Maybe. Hopefully not, but you never know.
Oh, that's so exciting. So tell me a little bit about, like, for those who don't know, and you get to work with these amazing animals every day, tell me what capybaras are like. Like, what kind of interactions do you have with them? Are they like cats? Are they like dogs? Are they like guinea pigs? Like, what?
So this is what I'll tell you. If you could take something that acts like a dog, but also acts a little bit like a cat, but looks like a big guinea pig, and smash it into the calmest, chillest animal, that's a capybara. Like, our adult male, Javier, he loves to sit on your lap. He really loves scratches. He'll, like, roll over on his back and act like a dog. You know, all of those things that you could envision with a mix between a cat and a dog and a rat is what you get with a capybara.
How did the baby come to you?
So, actually, one of our friends who had adult capybaras, they had babies, and, you know, they reached out to us and said, like, hey, I really think Javier would love a friend, and that's how we decided to go ahead and add another one.
You said he or she, we don't know yet, has been there.
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. Really, I'm not going to try to get it out of you, I promise.
Yep. I'm leaning towards boy. I'm hoping boy.
You're hoping for a boy. Okay.
Yes.
So, you said the capybara has been with you for 30 days. Is that how old the capybara is, or is...
Yeah, so he's been with us for 30 days, or he's 30 days old, but we've probably had him for only about a week and a half now, maybe 2 weeks.
Did you just reveal the gender to me?
No, I just always will call him a he and hope that it's a he.
Okay.
I don't know the gender yet. It's going to be we've only got one person here that knows the gender, and it's not me. So it's going to be a surprise to everybody.
Where are they from? Are they domesticated other places? Like, do people keep them as pets? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so I would say a couple things about the capybaras. They are the largest species of rodent in the world. So it literally is just a big rat. They weigh up to about 115 pounds. They come from South America. You can like find them in Rio and Brazil and places like that. Right now, they are very, very popular. So there's many different places where you can see capybaras. You know, they have capybara cafes. They have interactive zoos just like we have here. And then I would say there are some people that keep them as pets. I would say highly, I do not recommend that. They are very hard to keep. They also are semi-aquatic, so you have to have a really large area for them to be able to swim. They also only use the bathroom in the water as well, so you have to be able to maintain that as well.
I did not know that they were semi-aquatic. I learned something new today.
Yes, they have very cute webbed feet. They look like a duck.
So rat, cat, dog, duck.
Duck. Yeah. And also a little pterodactyl in there. If you see the back feet, it's very prehistoric looking.
So, okay, after we find out the baby's name or the baby's gender, is there going to be like a naming or how does that work?
There is going to be a big naming. So we have a YouTube channel and that is where we will be taking votes. We'll be taking opinions, all sorts of recommendations on the YouTube channel after we figure out the gender.
Okay. All right. Very exciting. If you cannot come to the party, is it going to be filmed or videotaped or streamed or how does that work?
So if you can't come to the party, we will be showing it on our YouTube a little bit later. And if you can't make it to the party and you want to see the baby at a separate time, eventually he will be on display here at the Legacy. We just don't have an exact date or time yet. But we do have options for the capybara to visit your house if you're having a birthday party or if you just want an afternoon with the baby capy. Those are our options as well.
So now that you've got the details on how to hang out with capybaras on your next road trip, we've got one more travel idea for you. A trip to what's known as the heart of Route 66. That's the town of Kingman in Arizona. Kelly and Bob Phillips of Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of Odyssey Station KRLD 1080 in Dallas recently made a stop in Kingman.
This town celebrates Route 66 in a somewhat different way and for a different reason than most. And the person who leads that celebration isn't even from anywhere near here.
I am actually originally from Detroit. Born and raised in Detroit. My family's still in Detroit for the most part. And came out west for my undergrad and met my husband in southern Utah. And so we stayed in the west and lived in Utah before we came to Arizona. Love history. History's always been my passion. It's been what I do for fun.
Leah Stagg is the director of the Historical Society here in Kingman, Arizona, located in Mojave County. Mojave, as in the Mojave Desert. Yes, it is hot and dry here, just the way Arizona folks like it.
What is it about history that you love so much?
So history, for starters, it was just the idea as a kid of being able to be a part of and touch something that has been around that long. So it was the idea of being able to touch that. And then photographs. Photographs always got me. The idea that you could...
While Route 66 is still a household name, interstates gradually began to replace parts of this legendary roadway, and it was decommissioned in 1985. However, parts of the original route still exist. Former President Bill Clinton even signed a $10 million preservation bill for historic features along the route back in 1999. Josh Noble is the Tourism Services Manager at the Historic Route 66 Museum, and he took some time to chat with Kelly and Bob of Own the Road about Kingman and its connection to Route 66, both in the route's heyday and as things began to change, including a figure known as the savior of Route 66.
What does Route 66 mean to Kingman, to this town?
After Interstate 40 finally bypassed Route 66, here in Arizona it was in 1982, 1985 actually in Williams, and the businesses that were along those major, you know, Route 66 routes really were suffering. Angel Delgadillo, he's a barber from Seligman, Arizona. They were totally bypassed. And you sometimes had cars that came off the interstate and they found their way into town to gas up. People talked about stories of remembering traveling Route 66 when they were younger. So he said, you know, I think we have something here. This could be something for our economy because people are looking for yesteryear. So he got with some business people in Kingman, and together 15 people joined the Route 66 Association of Arizona. They lobbied the state government to dedicate Route 66 as a historic highway, which happened in 1988.
One of the great things you can do at the Route 66 Museum in Kingman is talk to a hologram of the man Josh just mentioned, Angel Delgadillo, who people around these parts consider to be the savior of Route 66.
Why was Route 66 worth saving?
Why was Route 66 worth saving? Gray-haired grown men and women all sounded like a recording. They told me, when I was a little boy, when I was a little girl, this has got to be the highway that my parents drove during the Great Depression when it quit raining in the Midwestern states. At first, I didn't pay no attention to what they said, but I heard it over and over and over, day in, day out, and I began to think, what do you want? You got a super highway here that takes you from point A to point B. The fact remains, you don't know what you have until you lose it.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, WWL Radio in New Orleans, and Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas. You can find all of these programs, including the Something Offbeat podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.